Let's give Jesus. Let's give Jesus. Let's give Jesus. You were singing about him. Let's give Jesus. Let's give Jesus, the risen Savior, a hand clap of praise. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Let us shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We've got victory this morning because of Jesus Christ. He is our victory. We're not victorious in ourselves. We are victorious in him, and he is worthy of praise. Just count all of his benefits, saints, and clap your hands and know that all your blessings come from him. You may be seated. I got a lot to do this morning, and you got a lot to do. We all do. And I take your time as being valuable and serious. I'm getting older. I didn't realize just how much older I'm getting till I looked at my record book last night, right before I went to sleep. Found out that I've been coming to Alabaster since 1989. I had dark hair, more of it. But also, I got to tell you, I got to thinking up, and Jane and Bob have graciously provided me a living quarters that's always available when I'm in town. And got to thinking just how blessed I am. I got to thinking about my brother Massey bought me in here 20 years ago. It was the third church in the state that I preached in, and Buell was the second, and the first one was Pathway Temple, Mobile. People of Alabama made it possible for my wife and I and my daughter Sarah and my son John to pretty much live our dreams. Got to thinking, Brother Stroop, that nobody makes you come to church. Nobody makes you give in the offering. Nobody makes you worship. And I got to thinking and remembering just how kind and gracious everybody here at this church over the last 20 years have been to Roxanne and I, and your generosity and your goodness, how you've blessed us beyond far more than I will ever deserve. Got to thinking that one of the first friends I made in the ministry was Ken Stroop and his beautiful wife Rita and his beautiful family. He was an evangelist, is an evangelist, is a pastor / bishop, evangelist, apostle. I was coming in as an evangelist. Not one time did he exhibit any kind of competitive spirit. In fact, he went and recommended me to other men in the state, knowing that he might lose work in doing so because you can only have so many revivals a year. And I just want to, before this revival begins, before this God thing starts, which already started, I want to thank you. I want to thank Brother and Sister Stroop for being two of the dearest friends I've ever had in my life. I want to thank you, this church, for being so good to me and Roxanne for 20 years. So in a moment, I have a very powerful word from God. And I don't believe God has ever spoke to me to do a revival quite the way he's speaking to me to do this one. But I want to tell you thank you, because you have just been so good to me and my family. I could go to each one of you and tell you about acts of kindness you've performed and done. And for time's sake, I can't do that. But God spoke to me this morning, and spoke to me through the night, and he spoke to me in my dreams even.
that this is not just going to be a series of services. This is not going to be a revival, so to speak. This is a divine appointment that I'm as sure was a divine appointment from God as your birth was. I believe that this is the season, this is the hour. I was speaking in Brunswick, Georgia last week, and there's an older retired minister there that I consider a prophet. He doesn't go around prophesying every time you turn around. If this man comes to you, first of all, he's quite elderly and he's quite wise. And if this man comes to you and says, "Thus saith the Lord," you can pretty much bank on it. And he didn't know where I was going this week. And he started talking about me when he used to minister in the Birmingham area. And he says, you know, there's one thing that I've always wondered about, or I've always considered it a mystery, and there's one thing that I've always not understood. And he said, there should be a mega work. And he said, from the Hoover to Alabaster, that there ought to be a church in there that is just literally turning the city upside right by the power of God. And he said to me, I believe there's going to be a church in there that is going to turn the city upside right by the power of God. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you don't know, preacher, but next week I'm going, I believe, to the church and to the ministry that's going to turn this area upside right by the power of God. I believe it with all my heart. In Jesus' name, Jesus, I ask you, please, Father, please, I need you. I need you, Holy Ghost. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to do what you're planning to do this week. I don't know how to minister to people in and of myself. And if I knew how, I don't have the power to give them what they need. But God, you know how, and you have the power. So God, right now, I pray, please, I need you, Holy Spirit. I desperately hunger for your visitation. I cannot do this without you. I don't want to even try to do this without you. I'm not embarrassed by you, Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed of you, Holy Ghost. But indeed, I invite you to manifest yourself in this house tonight and tomorrow morning and all this week, because the only one that can truly produce revival is you, Holy Spirit. You employ men, you employ women, you employ children to be vessels of honor, but you alone are the only one that can produce revival. So we invite you now, Holy Ghost, have your way. And if you want the Holy Ghost to have his way in your life, in this church, in this revival, throw your hands up in the air and say, Holy Ghost, I'm not embarrassed by you. I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not embarrassed by your presence. We welcome you here. You are the difference maker. Without you, nothing supernatural will happen. In Jesus' name, I pray it. You know, as I was driving here from Brunswick, Georgia, I couldn't help but think, you know, what do I look for this week? And all I can tell you is I can't stop thinking it, and I know it's the will of God. I'm asking God, please. Please, God, if we're going to do in the 21st century what they did in the first century, we've got to be empowered by the same thing they were empowered with. We've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If we're going to accomplish today what they accomplished then, the same flowing through Simon Peter, needs to be flowing through me also. The same power that empowered the Apostle Paul needs to empower you and I also. I find myself saying this week, I will count it a great victory. I will count it a complete success. God, please pour out your Spirit on us this morning. Pour out your Spirit on us this week as you did on them in the beginning. Pour out your Holy Ghost on the city of Alabaster, because the Holy Ghost knows how to have revival. The Holy Ghost is the only one. Do you know, do you understand that when the Spirit of God, how many of you feel the Spirit of God? When I got to James' house last night, I in the kitchen, Bob can testify, and I hugged Jane. I said, Jane, I can feel God. Can you feel God when I touch this woman by the hand? The Holy Ghost just to me, and I said, I can feel God. Can you when I saw Brother Stroop in the hallway, I said, can I, you understand, I can feel God. I felt God when Sister Frieda was singing. I felt God when you all were singing. Well, what about John? That's what's supposed to happen in church. Yeah, that's what should happen in church, but in so many places it doesn't happen, and then all it does is become church. I didn't come to have church this morning. I came to have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. Nothing else will satisfy. And I'm not being fanatical, but I'm convinced of something this morning. I've been doing this 29 years consecutive. He did it longer than I did. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm 53 years old. Not very old, but that's older than I ever thought I'd live, back in the day especially. But I got to tell you something. Being 53 years old, even if I take care of myself and exercise and eat right and take my vitamins and pray the Holy Ghost every day, more than likely closer to the grave than I am to the cradle. I'm not being negative, but I've got less time to live than I used to. What are you trying to say? Well, when you're getting closer to your face-to-face before God, and you're going to have to give an account to your preaching and what you did, you become a whole lot more careful about what you say and how you say. Am I talking to anybody here that understands what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, saints, I don't have time, and you don't have time. Our lost loved ones don't have time for us just to have a series of services. We have got to have a divine visitation of the person of the Holy Ghost. And he's not an it. He's not a thing. He's as much God as the Father is. He's as much God as Jesus is. I'm not embarrassed by the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. The only time I'm ashamed of the Holy Ghost is if we go too many services without a visitation of the Holy Ghost. I need you. Someone cry and say, God, please pour out your Spirit on us this week as you did on them in the beginning. I'm going to tell you something else, guys. I am convinced that God desires to find a people that he can anoint their heads with oil until their cup overflows. David was the one, I believe, that penned those words or spoke those words and wrote them. Listen to what I'm saying, saints. David was on five occasions when the oil is poured on some. I tell you something, I've noticed over the years that sometimes when I preach for and lay hands on folks, that some of the ladies get a little nervous because of the dew, you know. I've got a wife and a daughter. Had five sisters. And I know the effort that goes into the hair and a lot more, because when you don't have no more than I do, it don't take a whole lot to take care of it. But when I'm saying, I'm mindful that you ladies put some effort in doing the do up just right and stuff. So unless I'm really cranked, I try to be mindful and slide my fingers under the hair and we anoint you with oil. That one of the things says, if sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Then we're instructed to anoint their heads with oil, and then somebody's going to pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. Now the oil itself has no power. I believe, at least for me, what the oil reminds me of, Brother Stroop, is that the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, no, baby. So it takes the power of the Holy Ghost, and the oil represents the power of God upon the authority of God. He gave us the authority to anoint sick folks, pray for them, and he would heal them. But without the power of God, we can't do it. So David was anointed 5 times. He had the authority to be king because God chose him to be king. But he could not have been king without the power of God to perform it. So they anointed his head with oil. So David really understood what that meant when he said that. The word anoint, when they anointed in the oil. So girls, you get nervous about me putting some oil under your dew. How would you like to live in Old Testament days, that if you got sick or you wanted the preacher to pray for you, they'd say, come on over, we're going to anoint you at all. And you'd step up there and he would pull out a big old container. That container would have like 8 quarts of oil, significant, about equal to what an oil change. Hey, when's the last time you've had your oil change? Have you checked your oil lately? Where's your oil? I just wondering. But anyway, and so I get mine, I'm old school, you know, and I get my oil changed every 3,000 miles and because it wears out. I don't want to live on 3,000 miles ago oil. I don't want to live on last week's oil. I can't live on a month ago oil. Have you checked your oil lately? Have you pulled? Never mind. Anyway, so aren't you glad that when you need to get prayed for, that you don't live in the Old Testament? Because of grace, I can just put a little bit of oil there and pray the prayer of faith, and oil's to remind us that we can only get what we're getting by the power of God. But if you lived in Old Testament days, you'd come up there and I'd pour the oil, and it would be 8 quarts of it, and you'd have all running. Oh yeah, your dew just wouldn't be messed up, your clothes be messed up, the floor be messed up, everything around you get messed up, anybody get near you in church, they get messed up, the pew gets messed up, the aisle gets messed up. Hey, maybe that's what God's trying to say to us, Sister Frida. Maybe we need to get desperate for God not to just touch us, that God just didn't put a little oil on us, that God would anoint our heads with oil till we can't contain it anymore. Oh God, please pour out your spirit on us. I want to tell you something. I believe that the Holy Ghost is the only one, and Brother Stroop, I know you believe it, that he's the only one that knows how to have revival, knows how to produce revival, and I'm convinced he's the only one that has the power to do the things that revival requires. I'm saying, the word of God says in Acts chapter 1, guys, I'm getting anointed. I'm getting oil poured on me, and I don't want just enough to get me through today. I want God to anoint my head with oil till everything around me gets affected by the oil that's just running off my life. We got to have it. You don't understand. It's not an option. There's a lot of people today telling you that they believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you don't have to speak in tongues. They believe in the Holy Ghost, but there ain't gonna be no manifestation. They believe in the Holy Ghost, but you can be full of the Holy Ghost. Well, never mind. But no, I believe what Jesus says. Jesus said that you need to tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he said it like this. He says, "Ye shall receive power after that what? The Holy Ghost is come upon you to be a witness." The Holy Ghost isn't so I can go and say, you know, I got something y'all ain't got. I talk in a second language. It's not about a second language, although baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence is speaking in tongues. It's not about saying getting goosebumps or doodads or chills or emotional. It is the power of God to be a witness. He says, you got to be a witness, first of all, in Jerusalem. And then Judea. And then you might as well go ahead and take Samaria. And then you might as well go take the uttermost parts of the world. You know what God spoke to me at 5:30 this morning, Brother Stroop? He woke me up out of a dead sleep, and I was wide awake. I wasn't drowsy. I was just, boom, wide awake. He said, for me to tell you from him and this church from him that it is time to take the lid off this thing. It is time, first of all, to win our families back to God before they miss the rapture. Then it is time to take all of our backsliders and win them back to the house of God before the rapture. Then it's time, coach, to win this city before the rapture. Then it's time to take this county for God. Then it's time to take this state for God. And it's time to have a revival in this country from border to border to coast. And if we're going to do that, there's only one way we can do that, and that's be full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Someone raise your hands and shout with me, dear God, please pour out your spirit on us as you did on them in the beginning. And I'm telling you, if we're going to be an effective witness, we cannot win our families. We cannot win the backslider. We cannot win this city. We can't. We're just blowing it, we're spitting in the wind, folks, if we think we can do it without the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot be an effective witness unless you're oozing with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, faith. What are you trying to say? I'm saying we are so used in Pentecostal ranks to shock and awe. You know, like the term they use in the Persian Gulf when a big offense is shock and awe. We shock them and everybody's in awe. God does do that. But most of the time, God saves folks through love. And he saves them through, in other words, the gifts of the Spirit is meaningless in my life. I could speak in tongues, but if I don't know how to love my brother as Christ loves me, then it means nothing. It don't matter how gifted I am. If I can't love people the way God wants to love them, then my gifting will hurt them and not. Well, somebody give the Lord. Oh, God, please. And if we are going to take our cities for God, there is going to have to be the gifts of the Spirit. I know that makes people nervous, Pastor, but the gifts of the Spirit have got to be in full operation. We can't make it on 3 cylinders. You can't run a 9-cylinder vehicle on 6 cylinders. You need all 9. We're going to have tongues, interpretation tongues, and prophecy. If we're going to fulfill Acts 1:8, we've got to have discernment of spirit, wisdom, and knowledge. We got to have faith, miracles, and healings. You're sick in your body in this room this morning. You better pray and you better hope for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, because the gift of healing could set you free this morning. What miracle could, well, somebody say, please, God, pour out your spirit on us as you did on them in the beginning. And then, Pastor, I'm convinced if we're going to really win this county for God, we've got to have the fivefold ministry. The Bible said that they are for the perfecting of the saints. That is pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet, and evangelist. Without the fivefold ministry, there will be no perfecting of the saints. Without that, there will be no lasting revival. I talked to Lindo Cooley, and I'm not name dropping, but I did a 5-week revival for his daddy up in Red Bank or Northwest Alabama. And I asked Lindo, I said, Lindo, if you could put your finger on one thing that made Brownsville the success it was, what was it, Lindo? And I thought he was the worship leader. And he would say, well, it was the fantastic music, and they had fantastic music. But you know what he told me? He said, for a period of time, the fivefold ministry came together. Pastor, teachers, apostles, prophets, and evangelists. And nobody was in competition with anybody else. And there was no jealousy. Everybody was hoping and esteeming others higher than themselves. And because of that, for a season, that church was walking in as perfected of a state as possible in these earthen bodies. And that's why over a million people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and people were healed. I'm not about having church. I would tell every one of you, go home tonight after service. You need to be faithful. Come back Wednesday night. If all we were going to do is have me preach you a series of messages, that's not what's going to happen this week. There's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost from heaven. And when God's Spirit is poured out, I'm going to tell you something else, guys. If that's all the Holy Ghost did, I mean, if that's all the Holy Ghost did was produce fruit, gifts, and offices, that'd be enough, wouldn't it? But how about this? I got to tell you something. That's why I believe outside being saved, outside you giving your life to Jesus Christ, the most important thing that can happen to you is to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it's not going to happen by accident. God fills those that are hungry and thirsty. Are you hungry and thirsty for more of the Holy Ghost? Throw your hands in the air. Do you want more of the Holy Ghost? Are you thirsty? Are you desperate to see your family? Your family ain't going to get saved. Last June, I was up in Tennessee, and I got to talk to Floyd Lahan. I'm not name dropping again. You remember, I was up there getting my bishop. Remember that? And I got to talk to Floyd Lahan. I don't know if you noticed him standing over there talking to me with tears running down his face. And he started crying. He says, John, I'm slowing up. I'm entering a time in my life where I don't preach as much as I used to, but you still preach a full schedule. You know what he begged me to do? Floyd Lahan, that don't have to hobnob with me. I can't do nothing for him. Floyd Lahan says, everywhere you go, beg the people, beg them to seek God for a fresh visitation of the Holy Ghost. And he says, this is what God told me to have you tell the people, that if they have lost loved ones, if there is not a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost like there was in the first century, they might as well write that loved one off. If you've got a lost loved one right now that's away from God, if what we have was enough for them to get saved, they'd be saved. Saints of God, it's going to take a shaking. Saints of God, it's going to take the power. Do you understand? If we don't have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost, our lost loved ones are lost. Because he's the only one that can draw them. He's the only one that can reveal Jesus. He's the only one that can take off the blinders. He's the only one that can break the yokes. That's why the Word of God says, it is not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now let me, somebody say, please, God will not violate your free will. Throw your hand in the air and say, oh God, please, I'm not asking for John to preach the best he's ever preached. I'm asking you, God, please pour out your Spirit on us this week as you did on them in the beginning. I'm not asking for entertainment this week. I'm asking to be changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Please, God, pour out your Spirit on us. I'm going to tell you something else. Having even said that, Sister Frida, if I stop right there, if that's all the Holy Ghost did in the life of a believer, how in the world would you not want to be full with the Holy Ghost? But I'm going to tell you something else. The Holy Ghost does something that most of us don't realize, and we all desperately need it. I refuse. I'm not the best preacher. I'm not even a good preacher. I am certainly not. There's a lot of things I lack, but I refuse. I will not live a life without passion. I'd rather be dead than bored. I'm not going to live in this world in a passionate life. I'm going to have passion in everything I do. And see, the Holy Ghost is the only one that can really, really do that. John the Baptist said of his cousin Jesus, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Oh, I'm glad you're saved, and I'm glad you got baptized, but it doesn't end there. He said, there's someone coming after me. He's so much mightier than I. His shoes, I'm not even worthy to latch. And you're going to know when you have a real encounter with Jesus Christ, because he will baptize you. I said, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The word fire there means passion. In other words, when the Holy Ghost really is in control of your life, you'll have a passion for life. You'll have a passion to preach. You'll have a passion for the Word. You'll have a passion for worship. You'll have a passion in your marriage. You'll have a passion for everything you do. I don't want to live a dry, dead life. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh God, please pour out your Spirit on us today, this week. I'll tell you something else. I'm going to say it and people may not agree with it. But you know, I believe that supernatural victory is impossible without the Holy Ghost. Christianity is not natural. It is supernatural. It is not academic alone. It involves your academics. But you can't even believe just through your head. You got to believe by faith. God is so far beyond your ability to think. He had to make it faith. What do you mean, Brother John? You think victory is impossible without the Holy Ghost? Well, the Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. I said when the enemy, didn't say if. He said bank on it. He said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord. Now, those of you, and I know of Brother Stroop, and I know Brother Barnes and Brother Massey prior to them, know that the Bible wasn't written in English. And the English just don't do it justice. And if you read the Bible in the Old Testament in its original form, it doesn't read from left to right. It reads from right to left. And, of course, it reads in words, some of which are extinct now, and there are no commas, no periods, no question. That was for English language. So when they wrote it in English, the King James guys, they put commas and periods and stuff so we could dissect it with English. And so it's not an error, but you don't have to even change a word for there to be a misconception. And so most theologians believe that when that was translated into English, that the writer could have very well put the comma in the wrong spot, which changes the whole thing. See, the writer wrote it like this. He said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, comma, implying that we, this poor, helpless Christian, goes through our entire life. And all we can do is hope to just barely make it through. But most theologians, which I'm not, but I agree with them on this, believe that the comma could have easily went here and should have. When the enemy comes in, comma. It ain't if he's coming. He's coming. And he's coming today, and he's coming tomorrow, and he's coming next week. And either you get the right stuff to protect you and your family, or he's going to wreck. When the enemy shall come in, comma. Like a flood, the Spirit of God. Now, how is the Holy Ghost going to raise up a standard in your life that stops the enemy in his track unless you're willing to let the Holy Ghost flood your life? Do you want the Holy Ghost to flood your life? Do you want the Holy Ghost to flood your life? Do you want the Holy Ghost to flood your life? Now, I ain't saying this to scare nobody, but God ain't mad at you. If you just said, I don't know, I don't want, I believe what he's saying, but I don't want the Holy Ghost to flood me, because that means commitment. That means I got to change. I can stay saved and stay unflooded, and I don't have to do a whole lot. The problem is, God ain't the only one watching this morning. Every demon from hell that tormented your life this week has you surrounded, and they're just wanting to see. And if they see you say, I don't want the flood, they know they got you. Because in this modern day secular humanism religion, we want to eliminate the power of God, the gifts of God. We want to eliminate the Holy Ghost. We don't want the full counsel of God's word, and we're getting our teeth kicked out because the only thing that can stop the devil is the power of the Holy Ghost. He's the only standard. I know I'm on dangerous ground here tonight, this morning. But I didn't come to have church. You didn't come to have church. Your time's too valuable. My time's too valuable. I came to see you get healed. I came to see you get delivered. I came to see your family saved. And there's only one that I know can get that done, and that's the person, Brother Bob, of the Holy Ghost. It's not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you something else. How many believe in the supernatural? And then I'm going to... No, God, let me ask you a question. He'll do the rest. You say, Brother John, you starting to act a little goofy. Anybody here besides me used to be a heathen? You remember the old days? They're not good old days. It's after 12. So I'm not an alcoholic. I can start drinking right now. No. I ain't drinking the wine of this world, but I intend fully every single night to get drunker than Cootie Brown on Friday night on the power of the Holy Ghost. I ain't living. Well, but I gotta tell you one more thing, and then I'm gonna read you just three voices of scripture from Jesus to ask you what you want. That's all I got to tell you is what he wants me to tell you. But I do want to tell you one real quick. Can I tell you one real quick story? I guess I kind of got the mic. Guys, I wasn't raised in church. Brother Stroop touched on it. And I'm not proud of my past. I rarely share my testimony. But when I got saved out of an organized crime background. I'm not proud of that. That's 29 years ago. When I think about it, I see it all in black and white. And if there's a psychiatrist in this room, please tell me what that means. Because I see everything else in color, but I see my past in black and white. Maybe, I don't know, defense mechanism. So I got saved. And I worked for a guy named Mr. D'Angelo, who worked for a guy named Mr. Giacana, who got whacked, and Mr. Rico took over, who worked for Mr. Gambino, who ran the city of Chicago. When I got saved, I don't know why, I knew I couldn't do, no one told me, I just knew I couldn't do what I did. And so I told Mr. D'Angelo that I couldn't do the stuff I used to do. Now this is important. I'm not sharing this to glorify my past. I am sick and ashamed of everything I ever did. But I had to share this because, see, the devil knows something about the Holy Ghost that he don't want you to know. Because if you knew it, you'd pray through to the Holy Ghost every day of your life. So I first got saved. You got to understand, I had spent 6 years incarcerated. I couldn't read. I'd been a drug addict for 12 years, so what brain was left that could have learned to read, I'd done destroyed through drugs and alcohol. But I got saved. And when I got saved in a church that was in such a bad neighborhood when they started it, they couldn't get a man to go pastor it. So you know who pastored the church I got saved in? Three little elderly ladies. One was 82, the other was 84, and the ringleader was 92. Yeah. They would come in the church on their walkers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, Tex, you hear what I'm saying? And they'd come in on walkers, and they'd be shuffling their feet, barely able to walk. And I'd be sitting there, and I was so scared. I was so scared of what they were going to do to my wife. I was scared what they were going to do to me. I was scared. I just got off drugs, and although God instantly delivered me from drugs, you know, how many of you remember when you first got saved and when something would go wrong? What was the first thing the devil would tell you? Oh, you need to go back and do what used to get you off because, you know, you deserve it. You had a bad day. Now listen to me. So every day of my life, I lived in a constant state, and I couldn't read the Bible to find answers. Wasn't saved long enough to know answers. But I had sense enough to get to the house of God. And I would curl up in the pulpit. I don't know why. In an embryonic state, so to speak. And I just remember saying to God, God, please, please teach me your word. Please, please teach me your word. And I was afraid. The people that had contracts on me, when they killed people, they didn't just kill them. And there's ladies and children here. I will not describe some of the things these people were capable of. And I wasn't afraid of dying. I don't think I was. I was afraid of the things they might do to Roxanne. Horrible things. Horrible. And so, Pastor, I stayed like this when I wasn't in the spirit. And often I would be curled up in underneath that pew on Saturday night, afraid to leave the house of God, afraid to get away from God's presence. And I would stay there and I would just weep because I didn't know if I was going to be dead. Didn't know. And about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night, they didn't know I was there. In came the three little old ladies. And they'd start marching around that church. And all of a sudden, their bodies would straighten out. And all of a sudden, they didn't need a walker. And they'd have their hands in the air, and something filled that house, and all of a sudden the fear left and the dread left, and I had peace that passed all human understanding, and run home and get Roxanne and bring her and put her under the pulpit with me, and we'd spend a night there in the presence of God, and we made it. Well, you know how the enemy works. The next day, Sunday would come. These women would pray till 11 o'clock the next day. And we're in the worst neighborhood in the city of Chicago, and wretched gangsters and gangbangers would come in and give their lives to Jesus Christ every single day. And that church went from nothing to 300 in less than 6 months because there's power. I want to tell you something about the Holy Ghost that the devil knows, that he don't want you to know. The devil's tricked many Pentecostals into thinking that we are too uppity for the Holy Ghost, and we don't need the Holy Ghost, and we don't need him anymore because we have programs and we know how to get it done. That's something we don't have to have. But let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost is the difference maker in your life. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not a foreign language. It's not a goosebump. It's not a doodad. It is the power of God. Let me tell you something. Come Sunday morning, I would be so wretchedly, you know, I don't know Bible. I don't know that the Holy God takes care of his own. And I don't know how to pray. I don't know nothing. I don't know. Listen to me. And so come service would start, I'd be shaking like a leaf. Are you hearing me? I don't know if my wife has been brutally murdered. I'm just being careful as I can be. I had two guys in my crew, of my seven guys that were in my crew, that refused to take the contract in my life, and they would call me and tell me who had the contract and what they were paid to do. And they started watching me, folks. I don't hope this ain't boring you, but I'm trying to tell you something about the Holy Ghost you need to know. And they started watching me, and they came up to me, and they walked up to me and said, well, this guy took the contract, and this is what he's going to do to Roxanne. This is what they're going to do to your mother. This is what they're going to do to you. Oh, and by the way, John, what are you on? I said, what do you mean? He said, what are you on? We've been watching you, and you look happy, and you know what's about to happen. What in the world are you doing? I said, well, if you want to know what I'm on, you got to come to church with me. Now, you don't understand. These are professional criminals. And they would look at me and they'd say, oh, wow, how ingenious. to sell it from church. Nobody would suspect. And they'd come to church and they say, okay, what are you on? What are you on? What are you doing? What are you on? I said, you want what I got? They said, yeah. I said, you see them three little old ladies over there? And I could see their eyes just light up like, oh, man. And wow, what a genius. You're selling it from a church and you're having three little old ladies sell it. Nobody expects you of that. Oh, I needed to tell you. When I was a nervous wreck and I didn't know what to do and I couldn't read the Bible, didn't know how to pray, didn't know what God would do for me, when them little old ladies would start talking in tongues, their faces would start glowing. I've been saved like a day, week, something like that. So I don't know what they, that's a whole, I just watched them. I said, wow. And I just knew, Frida, I've seen it in you many times, that if I could just get to her, if I could just touch one of them, that I'd be all right. Now, you think I'm crazy. And I'd sneak up behind these little elderly ladies, and before I could even touch them, before I could even touch them, I found myself, la 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 la. Now, I don't know Bible. I don't know the promises of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what the Word of God says. All I know is I got near one of them people. I ended up on the floor with stammering lips, didn't know I was speaking in tongues. And when I got up, I was full of peace. I was full of joy. I could make it. I lived. I did not die. See, the devil wants you to think that the Holy Ghost is an option that we can live with or live without, that it's a Church of God thing, that it's an Assembly of God thing, but the Holy Ghost is a tangible difference. The Holy Ghost will set people free in your life. The Holy Ghost will attract people to you. The Holy Ghost will break the yokes of bondage. I'm almost done. My son's a pilot, so you... Landing is much more, you need to be careful. You don't land in a hurry. I'm landing, honey, but I'm trying to keep us alive here. So my two friends that wouldn't take the contract on my life, they said, well, John, I said, you got to come to church. Come to church. I said, you see them three little ladies over there? If you want what I got, go touch one of them. I didn't know the Bible. I couldn't read. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know nothing about what, I just said, go touch. And they looked at me, I said, I double dog dare you. I said, and if you really want something, you see the old one in the middle? Not being ugly, I said, you see the really old one in the middle? Touch that one. Touch. These women were full, so full of the Holy Ghost that the Latin Kings were giving them money. The Lords were giving them money. The Black Peace Stone Nation was giving them money. Why? Because they scared of them. Scared of them. So I'd say, I dare you. Brother Stroop, they'd sneak up like they were doing a bank job. And before their hands, you may not believe this. It don't, see, we're not full of the Holy Ghost. When we got the Holy Ghost, we speak in tongues, but we're not, those little old ladies prayed in the Spirit all night long. They were full of the Holy Ghost. Oh! See, we think we got the Holy Ghost. They were full of the Holy Ghost. And these two men, professional criminals from their youth up, did crimes you can't even imagine, would walk up to these little old ladies, and before their hand could touch them, I saw it. Bam! They were on the floor. And then when they, and I saw them, Pastor, try to get up, and they couldn't get up till God was done with them. And when they did get up, it was like this. Like they stole something and had to run out before someone took it from them. Both those men were murdered and assassinated within 30 days of their encounter with the Holy Ghost. But God in his mercy and God in his grace gave them a chance to be saved by the, they knew that God was real, because the Holy Ghost ain't an itch, he ain't a thing, he's not a goosebump, he's not a chill, he is the tangible presence of God in the life of a believer, and he changes people. He'll set you free, he'll break off the yoke, he'll cause your kids to get saved, it'll cause your neighbors to get saved, it'll bring revival. Give God 1 week for a Holy Ghost revival. Not a man, not a preacher. Will you give God 1 week to have a Holy Ghost revival? Are you willing to invest a week of your life to be in a smack dab in the middle of a Holy Ghost revival where gangbangers come in and get near Christian and start falling out under the power? I'm not talking about what we've been taught. I'm talking about what I saw. I'm talking about what kept me alive. I'm talking about what kept me alive when... Thus saith the Lord, I have saved you. I am your Redeemer. I am your Savior. I am Christ. Now I ask you, are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Do you want me to pour my spirit in you and through you to a lost and dying world? If you are hungry, stand to your feet now, saith God. Throw your hands in the air now, saith God. And out of your belly, out of your belly, out of your belly, out of your belly, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Oh, somebody pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, you're fully, I'm talking about being so full of the Holy Ghost that our loved ones can't stay lost. I'm talking about being so full of the Holy Ghost where yokes are broken off lies. I'm talking about being so full of the Holy Ghost where people can't even come near us. Brother Stroop, we've been friends for years, and I'm telling you, this, I respect you as one of the greatest men of God I've ever known, but this is not a Kenny Stroop revival or Johnny Richardson revival or Alabaster Joints of God revival. This is a Holy Ghost revival. This is a Holy Ghost revival. I need one of my catchers quickly. I need one of my ushers quickly. Come here. Throw your hands in the air. Be filled. Here. I'm telling you, there's not a disease in this room that can stand up to the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you that God wants to fill you so full of the Holy Ghost that when your lost child comes near you, the power of God is oozing out of your life so powerfully that they fall out of it. I'm telling you, I've seen it with my own eyes. The devil wants you to think that the Holy Ghost is just a second language. That the Holy Ghost is a Church of God thing or an Assembly of God thing. That the Holy Ghost is a take it or leave it option. But God, I'm telling you, from God, I saw it with my own eyes when I was ignorant, didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, that it was the Holy Ghost that kept me saved. It was the Holy Ghost that cast fear out of my life. It was the Holy Ghost that stopped professional criminals from killing me. It was the Holy Ghost that slayed out men that were organized. They were, their daddies were criminals. Their grandpas were criminals. They went all the way back to Palermo, and they tried to touch someone full of the Holy Ghost and fell under the power of God. See, the devil knows that the Holy Ghost affects everything around our lives. And you cannot comprehend what it's really saying from the natural. Anybody here want to be full of the Holy Ghost?
I mean, throw your hands in the air. It doesn't matter if you spoke in tongues 5 minutes ago. Do you want God to anoint you that you become so full of the Holy Ghost that everything in your environment is changed by the Holy Ghost in your life? I'm not talking weirdoism. I'm talking that child's future. That child's future depends on the blessing of God. Brother Stroop, we claim the blessings, but we want to hinder the blesser. We want all the blessing, but we want to limit the blesser. We want everything God has, but we don't want God to have us. You better get to the place where you realize the only one that can help you right now is the Holy Ghost. You better realize that the letter killeth. If all you know is the Bible without the power of God, you will always be believing and never receiving, and therefore it will kill your faith, not help it. Let me tell you something. God's asking you a question. Can I read these three voices to you? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, screamed, hollered, made a fuss, saying, if any man thirsts, are you thirsty? If you're thirsty, throw your right hand in the air. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Let him come unto me and drink. Voice number 38, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said. If you're a Christian, throw your other hand in the air right now. I can't do both mine because I got the mic. And if you are a Christian and you're thirsty, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. God's asking you right now, how thirsty are you? Will you give me a week to give you a drink? Will you give me a week to see Taha? Ya to run da 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 da. Wow. You're here right now, and you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost this week like you have never, ever experienced in your life. I'm not saying speaking out. You want to be filled like you want to run up here right now. Hurry, come quickly. Come quickly, because I'm getting hungry and I'm going to go eat. Let me tell you what I'm going to do this week. Let me tell you, and don't ever be scared of Brother John. I will never make you be prayed for. Even if I call you out to pray for you and you don't feel comfortable, just shake your head one time. I will not embarrass you. I will not make a scene. I am not here to hurt it. I'm here to bless people. If I call you to pray for you, it's I want to be your servant. I'm not trying to lord over any, but I'm convinced. I'm convinced the only hope this country has is the Holy Ghost. The problems of America, the problems our families face, the problems we face as parents, there's only one that can solve it. There's not enough smarts in all the think tanks of America to solve the problems of this country. But I'll tell you what, you read history. I have. You read history. You read history. Everywhere a Holy Ghost revival took place, the economy got better, everything got better. Why? Because God blessed it. There's no party in this country going to save America. But you let America turn to God, and God start blessing our faithfulness again, and this country can come out of this mess. But if we think we're going to come out of this through any other means but the person of the Holy Ghost, we're crazy. I'm so glad this altar is full of men. I need my ushers. Sir, be filled. There is a desire of God. As I preached, the desire of God is to make you every whit whole. I mean totally whole. That, you know, no more conflict, no more battle with it, but whole. I mean really whole. What would it be like to be?
That's right, woman. That's right. It worked for Simon Peter. It'll work for you. That's right.
You won't make fun of that when your miracle depends on it. You won't make fun of it when your healing depends on it. You won't make fun of it when you're scared to death like I was that they were going to rape and murder and torture your wife. And then God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, protected you. woman, you are whole. You're going to feel good. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be strong. You're going to be vital. You're going to... Come here. God said, Brother Stroop, that God has chosen this church to be a revival center for this area, that he has chosen this church because they know what the power of the Holy Ghost is. It has to be stirred up, but they've seen it. They know it. They understand it. Most Pentecostal churches in America are ashamed of the Holy Ghost. They're embarrassed of him. They're ashamed of his presence, and God's not going to move there. But this church knows the value. You know the value. You know, woman, it's not a goosebump. You know it's not a doodad. You know it's not just another language. You know it's the power of God that will break you. Let me tell you something. That child can be saved and will be saved. I need you two, you three women, come right here. You don't understand what I'm saying to you. This is not an option. I'm asking you guys, if a guy that spent 6 years incarcerated, if a guy that had been a drug addict and alcoholic for 12 years, that had been in gangs since he was 8 years old, I'm talking about myself, can get saved, can't even read, don't know nothing about the Bible, but see something in somebody that was so real to him that he knew if I could just get near that person, I can make it, and I did make it against all odds. See, y'all were raised around this, and you had the privilege of being raised in the spirit-filled environment. And if we're not careful, we'll just think, well, it's what we believe, and it's another language. I mean, it's not. It's not. It's a tangible, real power. You came in this place today heavy burden and broken. Come here, young woman. You don't leave like that today. This is the house of God. This is a place where Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come drink, and I'll give you a drink of living water, and out of your belly will flow something that will give you strength and courage and victory. Wow! Out of your belly. God said to tell you that every disease in this house is healed by the power of the... Throw your hands up right now and begin to pray. Please just begin. Brother Stroop, I'm praying for a Holy Ghost revival. Yeah. If every believer in this house would raise your hands right now and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 The Holy Ghost can heal. The Holy Ghost can deliver. The Holy Ghost can become so heavy in the life of a believer that organized crime figures who don't fear man, don't fear anything, can fall under the power of God simply because they got too close to one of them. See, the devil's convinced us, Billy, that it's a give or take. You know, it's okay if you're filled. It's okay if you're not. It really doesn't make any difference. And yes, it does. We have been duped. We have been deceived. We have been lied to, and we've believed a lie. And because of that, Hoppy, there are people we love that are dying and going to hell because the only thing that can set us free is the power of God. You don't understand. Horace, I don't remember your mama's name right off the top. They knew about what I'm talking about. I had the honor of knowing that great man and woman of God. I knew them. I know about a man that was dragged over the railroad tracks by a cow and lived, I believe, because of the Holy Ghost. I knew about a woman, your mother, that had more courage to preach the Word of God than most men do today. We don't need another revival. We don't need another sermon. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. You know why Christianity is boring and meaningless to most believers?
because they have no fire. They have no fire, not because they have not been motivated properly. They have no fire because the Holy Ghost is the only one that can produce the fire. So we can't live. See, your mom and dad knew something, bro. You understand what I'm saying? The Bristols knew something. Yes, they did. And I came along, and I was the recipient of this wonderful Holy Ghost, and I'm free, and I didn't get killed, and I lived to tell about it, and I outlived my enemies because there was a spirit-filled church that... And now we've raised a generation that have come along and said, your parents and your grandparents were crazy and didn't know what they were talking about. And that we ought to be embarrassed of them, and we ought to be ashamed of them because we don't act like that anymore. I know! You understand what I'm saying? Pastor Stroop, I didn't have the honor of being raised in the Spirit-filled church, but I'm ashamed and humiliated by some of these young preachers who mock and make fun of the power of the Holy Ghost. Fools! I didn't have the honor to be raised in this stuff, but I have too much fear of it to ever speak against it or make fun of it or mock it or say we don't need it. I don't know about guys, but your parents and your grandparents' graves are being stomped on by a bunch of... No, I'm telling you. Margaret Mead. Anybody here ever read Margaret Mead? What did she teach? What did she propagate? She says the next generation will spend its entire existence destroying what the generation before it built. United States socialism. Your spiritual parents, the next generation, if they're not careful, will spend their whole life trying to destroy what their parents built. I'm just telling the truth, Pastor. I'm just bringing, I hope these younger guys don't understand what they're doing because they're talking against the person of the Holy Ghost. It's foolishness, I tell you. I said it's foolishness to think our families are going to get saved without the baptism. It's foolishness to think we can have a revival without an outpouring. It's foolishness, I'm telling you. Some young guy like you is going to come along and say, hey, we got to do it God's way with the full counsel of God, and they're going to turn the cities upside down by the power of God because this stuff ain't working. Oh! You don't know. You haven't heard some of the stuff I say. I've seen and heard. I've seen pastors in spirit-filled churches, Brother Stroop, get up and say, sin cannot be used from their pulpit because it's not seeker friendly. And rapture or hell cannot be used from the pulpit. Repentance cannot be used from their pulpit, nor can the blood be mentioned because it makes, you know, it's kind of sickening blood, you know. No, I know it is. What I'm saying is all this stuff makes sense to the natural mind. But without the blood, there is no remission of sin. See, God says, I can save. I can save all your household. All I need is a vessel. Will you be that? Yeah! 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 You remember, Brother Stroop? I don't know. But remember when you first got saved? How long did it take for one of your Sunday school teachers to say, are you full of the Holy Ghost? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Hey, ma'am, you need to pray for the Holy Ghost. And how many revivals went by where the preacher didn't preach at least two or three times? We cherished it. Demons are horrified of Holy Ghost revival. Demons are horrified of Holy Ghost revival. Demons are horrified of Holy Ghost revival. Your children will be saved in the midst of a Holy Ghost revival. Your bodies will get healed. There it is. Let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. He's discreet. He keeps a secret. I've been under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and you get under the influence of the Holy Ghost, you start confessing everything. Did you know that? He purifies you. And you know what? Sister Frida, the Holy Ghost has never ratted me out once. I thought he would. But he's not into ratting you out. He's into cleaning you up. It's the Holy Ghost. You know what? God spoke to me recently. We don't need more rhema. We just need to get passionate about the rhema we already got. You give me a passionate person, I'll give you an activist every time.